I would like to welcome our speaker tonight, all the way from Tulare, California, Don Stoops.
My name's Donald, and I am an alcoholic. I want to thank Bill and Valley Group for asking me to come speak tonight. He asked me about a month ago, and one thing I have learned from the program is that when you're asked to speak or be a service, you never say no. I guess where to start, 45 minutes is a long time to talk, so I guess better start at the beginning. I grew up in Tulare on a dairy farm. I came from a really good family. I was an only child, and at a very early age, I learned, work ethics were really instilled in me. Family values were really instilled in me. Got into school, which was just down the street from my house, and school was very easy for me. I was very popular. And life was fun. It was good. I had good grades. I had a bright future. Those were some really good times in my life. When I got into high school, life really became fun. All the new freedoms that you get, hanging around with all the new kids, and getting exposed to things that in a little country school back in those days you never really seen. I've always been blessed by getting good grades, and from my size I was pretty good in athletics. I played varsity football as a freshman. I was a good baseball player, got straight A's in high school, and started hanging around some kids that were a lot older than me. They were seniors and when I was a freshman. And I learned then, what the big kids were doing. That was going out every Friday night and having a beer, being sociable. And I started to pick that up as a freshman. Back then you could go off campus at lunchtime and cruise Maine and do all that stuff the kids do. And what started out on weekends is drinking, really released me from who I was. I could be whoever I wanted to be. It changed the way I felt. Being that I did so good in everything else, I thought I could handle drinking and do very good at that, A little bit here, a little bit more, and pretty soon, I was drunk every weekend as a freshman. And I tried to hide it from my family. Drinking was sociably acceptable. My family is not are not alcoholics. Most of my family are either teachers, doctors, or, professionals in a lot of ways. And, alcohol was frowned on, but it was sociably acceptable. I can always remember Saturday morning getting up at 5:30 to go work and my grandfather telling me it's time to pay the fiddler because he knew what I'd done the night before. And he always had a way of putting me on a caterpillar with no muffler, hung over to try to shake some sense into me. I got introduced to the program when I was 16. I got a minor in possession of alcohol. And back then, you do a few alcohol classes and pay a fine and, that was it. When I got it, I thought it was just bad luck. Everybody was drinking, Why did I get singled out? So right then I put myself in a victim role. I didn't want to accept responsibility for what I'd done. I blamed the cops for pulling me over. I blamed, driving, riding around with some friends that were doing things wrong. It wasn't my fault, it's just a victim of circumstance. So I didn't really want the program. 6 months after that, I had a brand new shiny pickup, and me and some of my friends had a large quantity of beer at their house, and a bunch of cars following us out, and about a mile from the place we were going, the road had flooded over, and I hit the water and hydroplaned and rolled 3 times out in the field, and kind of shook me up, I guess, you know, and I can remember my first thought back then was, damn, wasn't really worried about my truck. It was worried about, you know, all the people following us out there, they're all girls. And I ain't going to make it to the party. You know what I mean? And that still didn't stop me. Sure, my truck was totaled out. But I blamed the water in the road. You know? I was a victim again. You know, that damn water totaled my truck out. It wasn't the fact that I was drinking and I didn't really back then. You know, I was very grateful that the friends with me didn't get hurt very badly. You know, I took like 160 stitches in my back and broke my temple and stuff like that, but it didn't faze me. It slowed me down a little bit. About 6 months after that, coming home from a party, guy pulls out in front of me. Run into him. Fear set in. I got scared, started backing up off the road, and Larry's finally pulled me over, or actually stopped me, and got out of the car, and I was drunk, and being of my size, they thought I was over 18, and proceeded to, you know, do what cops do sometimes, and what happens, I ended up getting shot. You know, there was an accident. The guy had his gun out and went to handcuff me, and the gun went off. That slowed me down. But it didn't change the way I thought. I was still a victim. The guy pulled out in front of me. You know what? It's not my fault. Some other drunk pulled out in front of me. You know, it's not my fault the cop was handcuffing me and the gun went off. You know, it was a bad situation. And it was my self-centeredness really took over. I was really ashamed. You know, I came from a good family, and here my name is tarnishing our family's name. But my family stood behind me, and, you know, and they, you know, what happened out of the deal, I ended up getting a slap on the wrist. Lost my license for a little while. But it really changed it. I stopped drinking, you know, because I could not get in any more trouble. I went to school for my sophomore and junior year and never touched alcohol. My senior year, you know, that was my year, and during those 2 years that I did not drink, I once again excelled in school, excelled in sports. Once again, I had this image of myself that I was this person. You know, I lost track of who I really was, because here I am, this athlete. All these colleges wanted me to go to school for them. You know, popularity. My ego got big. Every weekend it was a trip to another college, you know, and I don't really remember all the colleges I went to for being recruited for football, but because half of them I spent in a bar or in a hotel. Never even seen the campus, and I was drunk. And I ended up going to college, and I thought that geographic change would change my life. I still didn't think I had a problem with alcohol. I just thought I was a victim of circumstances, you know. College was great. That freedom, you know. Again, playing sports was popular. I got good grades in school. I was making my family proud. They didn't know the life I was living over there. I could start fresh over there. You know, nobody knew about what had happened to Donald and Tulare in where I was going to school. And I started drinking again. And without restriction. It was a constant party. Most people have soda and Pepsi or whatever in their refrigerator. I lived across the street from a liquor store, and I had a 12-pack of beer in my refrigerator all the time. Came home and left the party till early one night in my car, and I'm driving home, and all of a sudden I see this tree, and I run off the road again. Almost flipped my car, and as the car's landing back on its wheels, right, I look up, and this is true, man. It was like something was hanging from my dash, off my mirror, like one of those air fresheners. And I thought that thing was swerving at me. That's how bad it was for me, man. Went back home. Went back to school. Stayed there 2 more years. My partying got out of control. Bars every night. Alcohol changed the way I felt. I didn't have to be that person, Everything, my look good was good on the outside, but inside I was broken. I had to drink to change the way I felt because I could not live with myself. These unrealistic expectations I put upon my life, I couldn't deal with. Fear set in. Fear of failure. Fear and self-centeredness is the worst part of the disease I have. I'm not living up to my expectations. My third year in college, I came home one weekend at Christmas break, and I never went back. I started working. My thinker's broke. I spent 3 years in school and thinking, well, I'm going to come home and do the same damn job I had all along. I went to work, really driven at work. My drinking had really slowed down. Met a woman, got married. Life was really happening for me. I was happy. Those were some of the happiest times I can remember. But alcohol was always there. I remember when I got married, I started drinking at noon before the wedding. I remember sitting up there kind of watching her walk down the aisle, I remember my entire wedding party showing up an hour and a half late to the reception, and I had like a 400-person wedding because they all stopped at the store to get beer and cruise around in the limo before we went there. That qualifies me to be an alcoholic. Started my own business, a very successful business, which required me to work lots of hours. What I did for my business was I sunk my heart and soul into it, and I had this idea that when I turned 40, I was going to retire and give my family what they wanted, me. I was going to make enough money by the time I was 40 and retire. So that means I had to work 24 hours a day, right? I gave my family everything they needed, monetary things. But what they needed most from me was me. And in this obsession that I had of working to make money, I kind of lost who I was once again. My look good was good on the outside, but inside I didn't know who I was anymore. And I tried to separate the world I live in at work and what I did on the outside from when I was home. I thought when I walked through that door in my house, when I came home, that I could leave it at the doorstep and I could have my family. That was my peace. Well, that was fine and dandy for a while, but when they overlapped and the worlds became one, it became hell. I had a beautiful wife, and I loved her more than anything. That was my rock, my foundation. Everything I did in my mind was for her, to help her, to better her, to give her what she needed. But really, I was putting her through hell because she had to, live with the lie, me coming home late, me being drunk, my kids not seeing me. It was always an excuse. I had to be at work. Well, the kind of business I had, most of my business dealings were done at bars. I had an ag business, and most of the farmers I dealt with were in the bar after work. That's where most of my business dealings took place. You know, and business was good. That became my office, you know. At 5 o'clock every afternoon when all the farmers showed up there, that's where I'd be until 10, 11 o'clock every night. And it was just about drinking. Somewhere in that obsession, my wife decided she didn't want to put up with it anymore. Because I had really put her through hell, and she decided to leave me. And once again, my papers broke. I'm the victim. You know, I'll stop. I said I'd stop. I'll stop so many times to her that I'm sorry button was broken. It didn't work anymore. You know, why can't you just give me one more chance? And she left. And it totally devastated me to the point to where I was dealing with feelings I couldn't even hardly suppress with alcohol. Life got really bad. I didn't want to work anymore. The disease took over. I did everything I could in my power to try to get her back. She wasn't coming back, but in my mind, my self-centeredness was, I'll get her back. And my focus was on her, that obsession. And when she left, you know, my purpose, my drive, my work, everything in my broken head was gone. So it didn't take long before my business stopped. It didn't take long before everything fell apart. Another tragedy happened. One night I was at home. I had a nice house burning a fire in the fireplace. Fireplace caught the roof on fire and burned the house down. Okay. Because we were going through a divorce, she had moved all the mail from our P.O. box to her P.O. box, and I didn't know that the insurance on the house got canceled. So I had lost everything. House, family, business. And the book talks about being totally demoralized, and I was. I went from living in a nice, brand new house to a 12 by 12 shack at my shop. Not wanting to live very much longer, you know, didn't want to feel the pain anymore. My family had pretty much turned their back on me because of my behavior and what I was doing. You know, even my mother, who had never stopped praying for me, didn't want me around. She would still do everything she could for me, but she didn't want me around. And I felt totally alone. You know, spiritually, I was bad. You know, I was a mess. Of all people, my father-in-law, my ex-father-in-law, came to me and offered me a job. He still believed in me. So I picked myself up, stopped drinking, went to work for him, and started a business, the same type of business I had. And it was very successful and made lots of money. But, you know, you always hear the sayings, you know, the disease picks up right where you left off. And it wasn't soon after, about 3 years after that, it picked up. And it never missed a beat. Started getting sloppy at business. Started lying. Started cutting corners. Because my look good was not good, you know? Everything was making money, business was profitable, I knew all these people, but I couldn't manipulate my father-in-law anymore. And that was the end of our dealings together. Once again, I'm the victim. It wasn't my fault. God's doing this to me. I'm being punished. I took a spiral down to depths I never even knew. Broke, living in a little shack in Pixley, hanging around people I shouldn't have, and the disease just was flaming. being an entrepreneur that I am and businessman was, you know, I started another business, an ag recycling business. Of course, this business started at midnight at night, especially on nights like tonight when it's foggy and I needed to make money. I had bills, you know. I forgot to mention that in the course of all this, I'm over $150,000 in debt for, you know, because an alcoholic, he can't deal with his feelings. He doesn't want to deal with bills. He doesn't want to deal with responsibilities. He doesn't want to be accountable. You know, it's just as easy to crack a beer open or take a shot rather than pay a bill. And I was financially a disaster. This business I started was profitable, you know. I had little expense, a little bit of gas, and a couple friends, and a truck, and trailers. You'd be surprised how much money you can make recycling iron. I did that for about 6 months. And the disease took me to places I had never dreamed I would ever go. My morals were gone. You know, and my sick mind was, hey, I'm just doing these guys a favor. You know, I'm cleaning up their junk. And that's the way I thought. You know? And I would rationalize and justify what I was doing because, you know, not me, you know, you guys didn't treat me right when I was working for you, so, you know what, this is my severance pay, or this is whatever, you know, and the victim in me, the self-centeredness in me, the blame, the hatred, the anger fueled it. I went from drinking beer to tequila and Jägermeister, and I don't know about Jägermeister, but it makes me mean and wild and crazy, and was on a 3-day binge, you know, and you throw women into this equation with whatever else I was doing, and it was all bad. I came home one night about 3 o'clock in the morning after a 3-day binge, and I'm in this little house and it's foggy. It was in March, and I was at the lowest part of my life I'd ever been. Alcohol wasn't working no more. I was in between being hungover and couldn't sleep. My head hurt so bad. I didn't want to go on anymore because I couldn't drown out those feelings of what I'd become. Moment of clarity. I fell to my knees and I was too sick to take my own life. I mean, I didn't have enough strength to do that, but I didn't want to go on. The world had turned its back on me. My family, who had always been there for me, really didn't want me around. They would give me money here or there to keep me away. You know, I felt really alone. My kids loved me, but I was not the kind of father that I should be around. So I made excuses not to see him. You know. And I prayed during this whole time, this whirlwind I was on. I gave up on God. You know, God's God of the universe. What's God want with me? You know, why did God let all this stuff happen to me? You know, but that moment of clarity, I had, you know, a choice whether to pray or to just end it. So I prayed to God. I said, I can't do this anymore. You know, please help me. And I passed out right there on the floor. You know, about 3 hours later, I get this at the door. And it was Tulare County Sheriff coming to shut my business down. You know? I can remember walking from the floor where I slept to the window and looking out, seeing the sheriff there, and how thinking to myself, oh God, that's the first word I said. I can do this, God. I don't need your help anymore. Send them away, you know. Yeah, but you know what? When I called, cried out to him, he heard me. And the next 30 days, I spent in Bob Wiley's bed and breakfast, you know. Never been in jail. My family had always bailed me out whatever situation I'd been in. You see, I didn't get in trouble every time I drank, but one thing for certain, every time I got in trouble, I was drinking. And I couldn't put that together in my head. I remember the humiliation, being that demoralized, thinking, oh my God, everybody knows I'm going to know I'm an alcoholic. Everybody's going to know I'm a thief. Everybody's going to know, what else is there to do, you know? I remember being in jail and calling my father and asking my dad to please bail me out of jail because I didn't want to be there. And my dad's words to me were, I'm through with you. You're going to prison. I'm not helping you. That safety net that I had always had when things got really bad of going to my parents and them bailing me out was gone. You know, a mother's love is eternal. And her prayer, she prayed for me all the time. And she never stopped believing in me. You know, God hears prayers. My mind was so clouded up when I was in jail that I could not see what was happening. I tried everything to get out of jail. Called my friends to bail me out. I wasn't getting out of jail. After about the first or second week, you know, I kind of made a decision that I was going to stop drinking. Because I was putting two and two together about, you know, like alcohol cost me everything. I stuffed my whole life. No matter what I excelled at, alcohol took it away from me. The disease took it away from me. I went into court, and they were going to give me 3 years and 8 months. They offered me a program. And the judge, who before he was a judge, was my attorney, and who had defended me on a couple DUIs I had had, told me that if you think you're going to come in here and manipulate this program, don't waste my time. I'm going to send you right to jail. You know, I would go to court every week in these chains, you know, and just a mess. My mother wouldn't come to court. She would send one of her friends, and I would always see her in the back of the courthouse looking, you know. And I was just overwhelmed with guilt and shame. Because when I stopped drinking, you start feeling those feelings that you suppressed it for a long time, and you're not wanting to face them. I couldn't face them. But when you're forced to in that little box that they got you in, the lights never shut off on. The people never stop talking. You know. Not that that mattered, because the voices in my head were pretty loud. I got into the program and I wanted to change. I told myself I was going to change and start fresh. Got introduced to AA. Got a treatment provider. I mean, once again, I had to have my look good, right? So I'd show up to treatment carrying a briefcase with all my court papers in it, you know. I would go to meetings early and act like I was Mr. AA, not knowing what the hell was going on, you know. Looking for an excuse, honestly, that I didn't fit in with the same reservations I had when I was 16. Then I heard some old-timers talking about situations that they were in that I could relate to. And the committee was still pretty loud in my head, but I took some suggestions. And, you know, one of the suggestions I got was to get a sponsor. got a sponsor. Somebody I could call. And I called him every day, not because he wanted me to, but because I needed to. He was my vent. He was the person, when the chaos in my head, when all the world was closing in on me, it was a choice, you know, and he explained that to me long ago. You got a choice. You're going to go out and drink, or you can call me, and we'll talk about it. So that phone got used a lot. I had nowhere to live. My parents didn't want me at the house. I lived pretty much in a hotel for a little while. Went to the program regularly. My sponsor told me to start working some steps. What are steps, right? You know, the first step, you got to surrender. Well, you know what? I'll surrender. Sure, why not? So I surrendered. Second one is come to believe in a power greater than myself to restore me to sanity. Well, you know, I always knew there was God, but I didn't trust God. You know, I didn't know that my God when I was a kid growing up was vengeful. You don't do this right, this is going to happen to you. You're going to burn in hell forever. Then my sponsor told me that, you know what, God is loving, caring, and forgiving. So I bought into that. Did the steps. Third step, you know, turn my will and my life over to care of God. You know, I did that. And things began to change. I don't know how. I started praying. And started building this relationship with God. And I went to a convention. And there was a speaker there. And I had like 30 days sober. And what I heard, I don't remember much of the convention. But I remember this speaker, and he had gone through traumatic things, and he said, you know what, to understand God's will for you is very simple. You know, you got to understand spiritual principles. And spiritual principles are honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, acceptance, you know. And I thought I understood that. You know, honesty, I could hardly be honest with myself, but I was starting to believe, coming to believe, really, truly coming to believe in God. Because my life was changing. He said, whatever your situation is, pray about it. Pray about what's going on. Practice spiritual principles in what you're doing. Okay? Do the footwork and stay out of the outcome. Those four things right there were really the backbone that got me through the program. You know, and you can apply this in whatever you do. You know, if you need a job, I was unemployable. I prayed about it. I practiced spiritual principles when I'm filling out applications. You know what? I was honest, open-minded. I'm willing to do jobs that I wouldn't normally do. I did the footwork, which means I went out and looked for jobs. I wasn't waiting for God to, you know, for a job to come knocking at my door. And I stayed out of the outcome. Found a job, a good job. Wow, you know, maybe this is starting to work. I put that in my spiritual bank account. Because I was starting to build a bank account with spirituality, a foundation in my life that I use every day of my life right now. Owed the IRS $130,000. Wow, how am I going to get out of that, right? I mean, there ain't no way. Well, practice spiritual principles, right? Pray about it. Spiritual principles, being honest, open-minded, and willing. Willing's hard for me. I'm one of those guys that got bills and started a fireplace with them. You know what I mean? And turn it over to God. You know what I mean? Do the footwork. So what did I do? I went to the IRS, told them, this is me. I owe you all this money. What am I going to do? And stay out of the outcome. God's will, right? I'll tell you what. Well, Mr. Donald, you haven't paid taxes in 5 years. That's why, you know, you haven't filed taxes. You don't owe all this money. You know what? Wow, man, that's a big relief. You know, I owed a lot of money, but not nowhere near that much. Put that in my spiritual bank account because I faced my problem. Fear. A fear faced is a fear erased. If you face your things and practice acceptance of what's going on in your life, it takes the fear away. I mean, for me, you know, a lot of times we go through trials and tribulations, and those are things that we go through, but if you can practice acceptance, and if you're doing the program right, and you do have spiritual principles, you know, if God brought you to it, He's going to bring you through it, you know. Never underestimate the power of God in your life, in the program. You know, I can't wrap my mind around everything He can do. I can't conceive. But that's not my problem, I give it to Him. Let Him worry about it. Take the pressure off of me. You know? God, I wrote a card out here because I didn't even read it. but, you know, I'll have 3 years in March. My life has changed dramatically. I have a bit closer relationship with my family now than I've ever had because I am me. I can talk to them about things now that I could never talk to them about before. I have a closer relationship with my daughters who call me. They lived with me for a year or two, and they moved back with their mother to go to high school in Indiana. You know, teenage girls can be a handful. I have a good job now, a respectable job that I like. But it's mainly because I put my sobriety first in my life. Because I know from past experiences, from all those potholes I fell in growing up, that alcohol in just a drop of a hat can take it all back away. And the way I practice my sobriety is continued maintenance, by going to meetings, by being of service, by working with others, by, you know, keeping my spiritual health good, by praying. You know, God's the easiest person in the world to pray to, you know, to talk to. Meditating. You know, that's listening for God's answers. Those are the tools I use. I work the steps. I've been through the steps twice now. I'm on step 9 right now. And every time I go through them, I find out more and more things about myself. You know. I know my defects of character will never be taken away. They're in my DNA. They're hardwired in me. But I know that, you know, when I turn it over to God, that my shortcomings, my actions on reacting, on acting out on my character defects can be controlled. You know, my brain is the first thought, wrong thought. I don't react anymore. I respond and I think about things. And it's never as bad as I make it out to be. You know, the tools you learn in this program can help you out of any situation. The fellowshipping, you know, for me it's not about drinking so much anymore. It's about learning how to live life, you know, all the life's problems that I can face today. You know, I'll close with this. You know, I had heard this at another convention, and a guy was talking about a bald eagle. You know, a bald eagle, when it reaches like 20 years old, it has a choice, a decision in its life. Whether it wants to go through this transformation, or it can, you know, because its beak is dull, its talons are falling out, its feathers are heavy, it can't hunt or fish no more. And it has to make a decision, whether it wants to keep suffering like this for another couple of years and die, or it wants to change. And it's a painful transformation, you know, and it digs its own talons out of its feet. It tears all its feathers out. It goes up to a rock and beats its rock against a beach till it falls off. And for 3 to 4 months, this bird doesn't eat. You know, but after this, when the talons grow back, it has new feathers, and you know its beak grows back, and it can hunt. It's a new creation. It's rejuvenated. It can live another 25 to 30 years. You know, and I think a lot of that I can relate to the program, how it works. You know, with alcoholics, we come in here busted up from the floor up, And, you know, a lot of us are faced with that same situation, you know. And it's painful. Changing is painful. Facing life is painful. But if you can get a hold of the program, do what others do, take suggestions, you can emerge out of this fight and have the wisdom of the past, you know, with a new life ahead of you. And you know, that's my prayer for all of you guys. You know, just keep coming back. And hope you have as many blessings in this program as I've had. That's all I got. Thank you.